All right. So just for the record, it's Thursday, May 12th, and it's about 6:10. Okay, so welcome to the board meeting. I thought we'd go ahead and introduce our guest teacher. Yeah. Want to introduce who you brought today?
Yes. This is Maestro Matt Richardson, who has been with Esperanza since the school started. So he has a lot of experience under his belt around his parts. But when I first started, he was just right across the hallway, his classroom. So if I ever needed with a little bit of help mentoring or teacher assistance, he was always there to answer some questions, help me out. Since especially he was teaching a higher grade than myself, I was in second, just being there. So glad that he could come and join us. He's been a great part of the team.
Just a little louder, please, or get the mic, maybe the microphone a little closer to the speaker.
Sorry, can you hear now, Marty?
Yeah, that's much better. Thank you.
Yeah, so here's Maestro Matt Richardson, who's been here from the school since I first started. He's been, personally speaking, he's been a great help for me first joining the school. So I'll turn the time over to him.
Actually, I want to do something. Do you have a way to, you know how you can make it be on a grid? Since most people are online and have it turn around, that way you can see them.
I can turn around. I can turn around.
See the board and meet who's behind the scenes. So that way you can kind of see
it. Let me see. I think I can. I can have him. I can have him on. Okay.
Terrific. Fantastic.
There he goes.
Hi. So like you said, I'm Matthew Richardson. And I've been here since the beginning. This is my first year teaching second grade. Every other year I've been in third grade. I'm originally from Southern California and I love working here. One of my favorite things that I've done with my students is I have them talk to their parents or talk to relatives before them and get a story from, I call it like personal folklore. So get a story that maybe is not written down to share with from their ancestors or from about their parents or their grandparents. Or if they want to, they could share a family recipe or something. So they just show where it comes from and just the influences that they've had. I'm not sure exactly what to share here.
Anything about yourself, your family, how many kids, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So that we know that you don't have eight.
Right.
Julia thought he had eight.
So I'm married with three kids. My oldest is 15. I have a 13-year-old and an 11-year-old. Live in Lehigh. A little bit long drive, but I love it here. And I feel like here is a family.
Any questions of Matt?
I'll just say that kids, students really love you. You weren't Cooper's teacher, but he really liked, well, Jesse already knows he liked him, but yeah, he really liked you. I think all the kids are excited.
So you've been here 7 years?
Eight years.
Yeah. What grades have you done?
So third, and then this year I've been second.
7 years in third and 1 year in second. Yeah.
And then over with your time overall, what is your activities and things that you've done? Like, what have been some highlights that you've enjoyed being at Esperanza?
Which is going to the home visits.
Yeah, actually, really do like doing home visits. It's fun to meet the parents and not at school. There's something wonderful about seeing how they live and where they are.
I got to say something about Matt. When he first came, I interviewed him in that little trailer, if I remember correctly. When I called him to offer him the job, he was hesitant. He's like, I just want to make sure that you think your school is going to survive for more than a year. Because I was hired at
Mana
Academy. And midway through the year, they just called me up and said, we don't have enough students. And do you think you'll have enough students? And I said, the plan is to have enough students. So absolutely. So 8 years later, here he is. So thank you.
What was Mon Academy? Rock Mexicano.
It was a Polynesian school, wasn't it? Yeah, so primarily Polynesian.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt, this is Marty Banks. Sorry I'm long distance, but I'd be interested in just a real quick kind of 30-second summary of what prompted you to get into education in the first place.
Both my parents were educators, and I like to learn and I like to share in what I've learned. And so seeing them work as educators and then just going, I'm like, let's get into it. Let's work with kids. It's fun.
Got it. Excellent. Glad to have you on board.
Well, thank you.
Yes, we're excited to have you here.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you.
I remember I actually did an audit with you a long time ago and walking around and observing the teachers in different grades. And I observed his class and I thought it was great because in third grade, it was right after the election happened. And the kids were writing their letters to the president. And you did a really good job of keeping the kids neutral because a lot of kids were really scared at that time. I remember that. But all the kids, they were like writing a letter to the president or the former president or something along that. But I just thought that was really cool. And, you know, they were getting all their ideas out there and you were listening to them and engaging them and refocusing them. You could see that happen. So I thought that was really awesome.
Wanted to share something about Matt, kind of similar, having been his coach and mentor for not this year, now it's Jessica, but in all the years previous when he was teaching third grade, a lot of opportunities to observe him. And two pieces that I've seen him do really well, a lot of things, but these two really strike me. One is covering cultural and linguistic and world differences. He really brings out higher level thinking in the students in talking about differences all across the globe, not just among the various Latino cultures, but world cultures and also religions. And he teaches, like Becky said, in a way that is not biased or guiding. It's just factual and information. And his students can talk about the civil rights movement, and they don't only talk about it in February. And he does a very good job of making sure that multiculturalism is woven throughout the school year. The opposite of that, that schools sometimes fall into, is this thing called, food festivals and something like that, where it's very surface level cultural celebrations, not in depth. And Matt, you did an excellent job of that. And you incorporated into reading and writing in a way that's really academically successful.
Thank you.
It sparked a lot of interest in reading with kids because you picked really good books too. So that's awesome.
Thanks for coming out tonight.
Thank you.
Is Brian online?
No. Phil will give the financial report.
Phil will give the
So can everybody hear me okay?
Yes,
yeah.
I can hear you here.
Right, and can I share the screen?
Oh, let me quickly release the screen. Okay, try it.
All right, thank you.
You can see another top over there.
So that should be up on screen, right?
Yep.
ETIF. What Brian wanted to share with everybody tonight is that he's been for the spring finance training took place yesterday, and he says that he'll send out a summary soon. One of the things that they talked about at the training was teacher bonuses. That's through the state legislature. You have more information about that that he'll share with us. And then he also wanted to make sure that everybody knew that restricted funds will be requested through the Utah grants as they are getting ready, and he's been working closely on Low Hill with that. Then the other thing he wanted us to note was that if the fraud assessment isn't on our minutes from last board meeting, that we need to make sure we include that in this board meeting.
To make sure that the fraud assessment conversation was on our minutes from last time.
Oh, yeah, I did not.
And so,
yeah, they are, because I did report that. I'll double check though.
Okay, Becky's gonna make sure that it's on last month's minutes.
Okay, great, great. Right, well, I was just going to start the financial report with our PDIF fund. We can just bring this up and show you kind of a balance where we're at, but we have a little over $1 million in that fund. We have earned about $3,500 in interest this year, and interest rates are going up, and so our interest rate will go up slightly also. You can see that's true with this last month.
If you notice, as soon as the
Fed raised
the interest rate, our rates began to increase. So this is a perfect example of the idea that the more you have, the more you get. Because it immediately went up to 457, and then they raised them again, and now it's 522.
Yeah. And so one of the things we discussed was maybe this might be a good time to move some operational funds to this fund, since interest rates are up at this point. So we discussed maybe $300,000 to $400,000 moving from operational account to this account. And I think we have about $1 million in our operational funds. And so we feel like that would still be comfortable, that we can operate and pay out our two payrolls every month.
Yeah, so he wanted the board to consider that you don't have to vote on it, but we are informing you that we may move up to $400,000 to the PTIF, and he feels very comfortable that the remaining $700,000 would cover payroll and any expenses. Plus, this is liquid funds. We can bring him back into our checking account at any time. So I think that Phil will write an email to Brian, unless there's objections, and ask him to move probably 400,000 to.
Yeah, I think 400 would be good.
Yeah, to the PTIF. Now that the interest rates are going up, that's going to be helpful.
Yeah. All right. And then let me just stop sharing that. And I need to bring up our budget summary.
So I just want to say, I did not have it in the minutes. I have it in there, but I don't have it like that. It's the fraud that we discussed the assessments.
So,
and the ethics standards and all of that, but I don't have in there the actual that, you know, and I didn't find it which board meeting it was in that we went to. That's what we were going to do, to say that we had already done it before. We had to have it reported in those minutes,
if I remember correctly. Okay, so Becky doesn't have the discussion on the fraud assessment. Phil?
So maybe we can add it for this meeting then?
Right now, that's fine.
Okay, so.
We had talked about it, and there was that wasn't the one that had the training and everything was with it, was it? Or was that the ethics?
There was one that they had to watch videos on.
Yeah.
On YouTube or something.
Phil, is it the one that where you guys have to watch the videos online? Or is it just the one that we had here with Brian when he talked about, you know, all the different point system?
Right, it was the point system.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So we do.
We did that a long time ago. I have that in minutes, so I can pull that up.
Yeah.
Like a yearly discussion. We should do that again now.
No, but I think we did it just recently. When we before we submitted it, the form, we brought it to the board, and we said we have this many points on these areas.
Right. And the discussion was he was showing all of that, and he said we still need to get this fraud assessment, and we had said in the board that we had already done that because they had brought it to us before. It was in another board meeting that we had done that. And that's what I thought was those videos. I'll have to.
Yeah, you'll have to go back and see.
It was a while ago. It was like 2 years ago that we did that when we were first trying to do it.
Right.
Yeah, so we probably should talk about it. I mean, I don't know everything that's...
I am wondering if this is something that can be on the agenda for the strategic planning meeting.
It's not going to affect anything, will it?
So. I don't know. Do we know?
I think it will. I think what we needed to do is just make sure that it was in our discussion, in our board meeting, that we had met our threshold.
That's the point system. We did have that discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was either last meeting or it was the meeting before.
So we did have the discussion on the point system.
Yeah, let me look. I'm going to check the minutes before the March minutes as well.
She's going to check the minutes from March, and so she'll come back to it again.
Okay. All right.
And I didn't send the minutes out. I didn't send the minutes out. So no. Last month, sorry. But I need to. I can put it in, and we can do an electronic.
Oh, okay. Later. Good.
And then Natalie, you're online, right?
Natalie, are you there? Natalie Penteco.
Yes, I'm here.
Do you have anything?
Sorry, I couldn't find the button.
For us to see? Is the time?
Do I have anything?
Ask Phil if he finished.
No.
Presentation.
Oh, I thought you were saying he was.
I don't know. I don't know.
I have.
I didn't think he was.
I have one more thing to just move.
Oh, yeah. There's
all right, more. Sorry about that.
That's okay. So don't cut me off. Yeah. But I was just going to go over our summary of our financials, where we're at. You can see that we're trending with time and period. We haven't finished our year, of course, but for the as of April 30th, we're exactly where we need to be. Our operating margin is at 7.2, which is good. Our debt ratio is fine. Our unrestricted cash is 35 days, is more than 35 days. That was our target.
One of the things that is important on that page, Phil, if you can just stop there for a second, sure. Is the forecast of the unrestricted days cash on hand. We probably will end at about 172. And the state typically doesn't want you to stash money. So they recommend no more than 180. So we're reaching not the maximum because there's no maximum, but the recommended unrestricted days cash on hand. We're getting there. So we just need to keep an eye on that.
What changed this month? Are we currently at 134?
We're forecasting that for the end of the year. Because we don't have a lot of expenses in June because most of the TAs are not working. So that's what will bring it up.
Really quick, Marty, Phil, what I think I did in the minutes for last month with the fraud is I think I called it ethics standards and not fraud. Or did we also discuss ethics?
No, it was fraud.
Because I said we said they needed to have it added to their handbook for the teachers, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
That was part of the conversation. Yeah. Yes.
I think I just didn't get all of it. So sometimes it's hard to hear. Like I was just telling her,
Sorry, I couldn't hear any of it. I didn't hear that comment.
By whom?
I thought it was Becky after Phil was just talking, or maybe there was just
silence. I just kept saying your name on accident. I didn't mean to.
Oh, okay.
It was Becky.
So I think as far as our expenses go and cash balance, we're in good shape. And then last thing is just where we're at with enrollment. We're still at 528, which is excellent. And the only other thing that Brian wanted me to make sure people understood that the final budget will be out in June. There's several new funding sources, and there's a reduction in federal funding, mostly because of COVID-related funding, as well as our lunch program is no longer free next year. And then we wanted to make sure we look at our preliminary budget before we vote on it. But we'll be voting on that in June. And I think we're not sure which day we'll be doing that, right? Either at our meeting or at our regular meeting. And then the other thing Brian wanted to make sure I mentioned that is we're going to be moving our audit from our present auditor to a new auditor. We think that this is going to be better for communications and response times, working with this new group, somebody that Brian has worked with. Our bids came in very similar, so there won't be an increasing cost.
Is that something we have to vote on?
Yeah, that's on the action items. So we will deal with that in just a few minutes. We're going to take some action. And Brian did recommend to go with a new auditor.
Hey, were there some reservations or concerns about the old auditor? What's driving this?
It's mostly communications. And response time. We find with our current auditors that they expect for us to drop everything and get them all the information that may take a week to get to do it in a day. So,
yeah, we know that Marty here at the school, sometimes they would send us a request at 9 o'clock and said, we need these items by 3 p.m. today because we're behind on our audit. And so sometimes Adi and I had to drop everything we were doing to make sure we got those things done. And we got them done. And if Brian recommended that we stayed with our current auditor, we would be okay. But Brian was experiencing similar things in his office. And so that's why he recommended a change.
And was this a one-time frustration or multiple times?
Multiple.
No, it's been going on for years.
During the audit, we probably had three days that I recall where Adi and I had to drop everything we were doing for that day. And
that makes good sense to me. Yeah. That makes good sense to me.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Good. That's all I have.
Okay, appreciate awesome. That, Phil.
Now he said it's yes.
All right, Natalie, the time's yours, but I just didn't know if you had anything to show us on your screen or not.
I do not.
Okay,
perfect. I do not.
Go ahead then.
Okay, so I'll just jump right into the fundraiser, the chocolates fundraiser that we just are wrapping up. I will say I was very patient this round. Even though we normally just have it like open and close in 3 week period, I've let children come in, bring in boxes that were half empty or full, however you want to look at it. And then I would send them out because we had such a big stack of people waiting. And because we did only do a very limited conservative amount of boxes of chocolates, and there was such a want, I kept allowing those boxes to come in and then rotate out. So Friday, I made a deposit of about $7,600, which I was really happy about. And then since then, again, I've sent out more boxes that came to the school that maybe not, like the student didn't want to finish or couldn't, or just brought back a box. So today we counted 2140. So that will be deposited tomorrow. And also we need to have the change deposited. So that in itself is its own little pain because you have to put them into the little things or you have to take it to a money counter, which Mr. Alejandro has offered to take me to the bank that's in the corner because they actually have one. And if you don't have an account there, they charge you for it. So, which is the last thing I want to do. But we're done. We're done. We're done. We're going to wrap this up. Prizes are going to go out next week. I know I've been patient with collecting the money and sending boxes out, but I know now the kids are like anxious. So we'll definitely get their prizes out to them next week. And we had a successful Teacher Appreciation Week. It was, I think it's more enjoyable for me than anything to like serve our teachers who work so hard. So we had a week full of different like treats and gifts that were given to the teacher. We did a breakfast, we did a dinner, we had a small parade that conflicted with a mariachi event, but we survived that. We gave fanny packs. We had some yummy treats on the first day. So I think overall, the teachers felt appreciated. We have field day coming up. One thing that I've been trying to work on is getting our fire trucks back. They're not sure yet if that's going to be allowed to come and spray our children, which will be very disappointing because they're offering to come, but just to bring the trucks. But the kids are used to back in the day getting sprayed down by them, which is very exciting. But if not, I am making sure that a lot of our games have water included because last year we bought several hoses to just kind of have a water day. So I think this year now it'll be nice that we can rotate and have these games out, but a lot of them will include water because they just want to get wet. So, and then we just have graduation for sixth grade and the kinder. But yeah, that's pretty much all I have to report unless anybody has some questions for me.
Anybody have questions for Natalie?
Just want to say thank you, Natalie, for the Teacher Appreciation Week last week. Very nice of all the things you put together for the teachers.
You're very welcome. But also, I get permission from the administration to do that. So it is my pleasure to be like the Santa Claus, but I'm just happy. I get a lot of the praise, but also like it is fun for me to like serve you guys and I hope that everybody does feel like very appreciated because again, like my children have gone to the school and I love the staff. I love the teachers. I think they do such a great job. And I think we have such a high moral standard that's going on right now that kids are just happy to like have some normalcy back. So I think you guys do such a great job. I'm happy to do that job.
Okay, wonderful. We appreciate it too.
Okay, I'm going to excuse myself. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
So a couple of things I just wanted to check and make sure we're on the same page. But in June, we vote on
the new budget.
The new budget, right? Mm-hmm. So that's in there. And I just wanted to check really quick. It's probably part of your presentation, but I just wanted to check. At one point, we talked about doing that board piece separately from the trip up to...
It's up to you. In fact, somebody asked today if we were going to have another board meeting. Brian did. Okay. And I said, he says, can we take it off my calendar, the board meeting in June? And I says, wait until tomorrow because the board may have a say today.
Okay, I've got it.
Yeah, because I listed, have you seen at the bottom of the agenda? That's June
15th.
Okay. So I did put it.
Okay, excellent. So are we going to look at minutes for both April and May and June?
Yes.
Okay, that'd be perfect. Great if we could. Yeah, let me mark that.
Do you want to set the time for the meeting next time so we can upload it to the site?
Yeah. What do you mean?
Do you want? Well, she needs to upload it to the website, the state website, when we're having our next board meeting. If it's on the 18th, we'll do that. If you need to change it, we can.
Well, we just need to create an agenda if
yeah.
that's the case. And then that's where, if we're going to have the strategic meeting.
Talks louder for the microphone.
If we're going to have the strategic meeting, then it doesn't apply because we don't. Wait, I do upload that one too.
Yeah, it's all the same.
Yeah.
We also approve your budget as well, right?
Right. Like
your, okay. Those are the just standards for June.
Right.
Other thing, it was a few months ago that we talked about keeping those things separately. So, did you want to
join? No.
Okay. Let's just bring up the conversation really quickly again. And then later on, I have a little piece about just some suggestions from you guys. So maybe be thinking about things you'd like to go over at that strategic meeting as you brought in. But as far as board meeting, we had said that with strategic planning, it really takes some time and some dedication and some work and thought. And sometimes you feel a little distracted when we're trying to do policy and board meeting and then afterwards do strategic planning. But we have something different that year that some are staying over Saturday night.
Well, and we'll be able to work late Saturday. Remember, in the past, we have to finish early. 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, we have to leave. Now we can work until 4 or 5 because some of us are staying late until the next day.
So I guess we just need to make a decision one way or the other. What preferences do you have? What is the day that we're scheduled again? Just so everybody.
The 18th. What's the 18th? A Saturday?
Saturday.
So right now the board meeting is scheduled for 9 o'clock on the 18th. If you want to change it and have it earlier here at the school on a different date on the second Thursday
of June,
then you can. You can separate the two. If you want to keep them together, then you can do that too. But you just need to make that decision.
So the second Thursday,
June 9th?
So it's either the 9th, separate from the strategic planning meeting, or on the 18th at 9 in the morning, combined with a strategic planning meeting.
Well, it seems to me there are some good efficiencies with a combined meeting.
Combine the meeting, one suggestion.
Any others? Anybody opposed to that or support that?
I'm good either way.
Like every time you have a strategic meeting, there's not enough time.
Yeah, but we're lengthening the time now. In the past, at noon, we would leave. And now we're going all the way to 4 or 5.
Friday, it's always been dinner,
right?
BRT, all those kinds of things. And then we start early in the morning.
Right.
Sometimes our board meeting has been really quick, and other times it's dragged on a couple hours.
Right.
I noticed the last time when we were at Homestead, that there was a long list of policy work that needed to be done. I don't know where the board is with that. When
COVID happens.
Right.
I had gotten a computer. My mother had volunteered to help, and I had a computer checked out, but I could never get into it. And so I brought that back, and nothing ever happened after that. So we want to try again. Do you have another laptop I could try with? I just don't have another laptop to keep with them.
And I think my suggestion
to help. She loves that kind of stuff.
I think my suggestion would be pick a board meeting that we know has less items in it. And as we look back through this, and then just say that's the board meeting for policy. We take it, we divide it out, everybody does a quick little review, and then we vote on it, make any changes that we need to, and move on so that it's one and done, all done. Because we've tried the other way, we brought in a couple here and a couple there.
Yeah.
We tried doing it in strategic planning, and then it just took a long time.
Well, so, we have a couple of months, like for example, June, when we do the strategic planning in June, but we don't have we have the board meeting there. And, I think also, is it December that we don't do it, or is it?
Yeah,
December. So why am I doing
July and December?
Do we want to, because we do it the second Thursday of the month, is there a reason why we couldn't do the policies on December 9th, because then it's for the next year, or the second Thursday in December? Because then we could add it into the next year for January.
A lot of times for Christmas, some of you
in the past.
In the past.
We used to have it further down in the month, though, too.
Right, but in the past, people didn't want to, during that time, they have a lot of work, Christmas parties, and a lot of festivities in the schools and those kinds of things.
When is the lightest month that you've experienced, never, as far as board work? Is there always a big long?
I think as far as what we've had in boards, gosh, was it last month that was just really long, or was it? Yeah,
last month.
I always found that to me, it's the easiest one that are shorter. It always seems to be like that first month that we come back.
I think the first couple of months, August, September, are not too busy.
Yeah, because you start adding to the list and then it keeps extending.
Yeah. And at the beginning, the budget is still kind of being worked on. And so there isn't a lot of things that need to pass. So those couple of months at the beginning of the school year.
There are some quick protocols that we could use to do that. To pass things off very quickly and then update our, but the thing is, don't policy manuals have to be updated like that to put in the teacher handbook and all those kinds of things? Doesn't have to be done.
It helps. Yes.
That's what I thought. The other suggestion we could do is Adi's so good at bringing in food and stuff. We could pick a Saturday and say, we're going to come for 2 hours. The whole purpose is just policy. We're going to use a protocol. We divide and conquer and then hash it out and get through it. Or we pick another Thursday of the
Friday,
month in a light month. So there's several options that we could do to make it be more effective and more regular. We just need a regular, we don't really have a procedure that we do, so we just choose one.
The strategic planning or at our June that we, and I can help get that scheduled out, but we divide out the policies to each person on the board. And then we meet again in August, or we meet, so that gives us time to all look at them. Or format
and there's no meeting in July, so yeah. you could use mm-hmm. that Thursday in July to look at the things that you're talking about.
Or I can buy Becky a laptop and
I take that
too. Give it to the mom.
I would turn it back in. I just refuses to use a computer anymore because she does as a secretary and has her little iPad. I'm like, you can do it on your iPad.
As far as the state's concerned, they just care that we reaffirm all our policies. They don't care if they're formatted and stuff. That's just something that's nice for us to have that.
Right.
And so if we...
Do you want to finalize the first question? Do we want to have the board meeting separate or at... There was a suggestion to have...
Okay, let's just go around and vote. Separate or together?
Just the board members.
No, everybody, because your teachers are going to be there too,
right?
Involved
in this, yeah.
Yes, there are 10 people that will be there from our school.
Are you
well,
going?
Actually, so, yeah, we can't do it on Sunday, that's for sure.
No, Sunday. It has to be Saturday.
Yeah.
And right now, it's scheduled for Saturday at 9.
Yeah. Okay, I'll go for my personal preference would be do Zoom only. We have a super short agenda. We just pass, get on, get off. We don't have come in. We just pass it off, be
separate.
Done. And then
separate.
And then on June Saturday 9th. Is just for
on June 9th, day. Right? June 9th?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
June
8th. Like,
yes.
Oh, you're talking about doing a Zoom with you, so you can do a Zoom with the board meeting at...
We would do our normal Thursday.
On the 9th.
Yeah,
so separate.
Yeah.
Separate on the 9th.
Okay.
But just Zoom.
Just
keep it simple.
If I have a vote, I vote for June 9th and do it
separate.
Zoom only. We don't
so that's
to
that's
two.
Two.
Let me just keep track.
Phil.
What else, Phil?
I'll go for that.
You'll go for that.
For that one too. Marty.
I vote combination.
Okay. Just to complicate our life. Huh? Jesse,
I would
about
expect
you?
More from a lawyer.
You're okay.
Got to be... A little gravel in the ointment.
Adi, you said Zoom, right?
Zoom.
Do you have a preference?
Zoom. I think Zoom.
Okay.
That seems more efficient.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
Zoom. My preference is the separate.
Okay. I think overall we have a... Who did I not ask that's online?
Juan is not on there. That's it. Sara. I am so sorry, Sara. I did not introduce you. Do you want to introduce yourself and let us know why you're here very, very quickly?
Sorry to take your time. I know you all want to go home. I'm Sarah Quiroz. I'm one of the special education teachers at Esperanza. I'm currently over fourth through sixth grade. The reason I joined the meetings because I'm in a policy class for my master's in curriculum and instruction. So just wanted to see how we do things with Esperanza. This is the first board meeting I see how it develops. So
wonderfully. Normally more yeah.
We're talking about policy, so that's a good time to join.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So this is an assignment for one of our classes. So.
Is there anybody that we haven't asked? I don't want to miss anything.
The only one is Juan, but we already have
Juan.
Majority.
Okay. Yeah, you have a, yeah. Except for Marty the Pirate. All right, so my request is same time.
I'll be happy on the 9th at 6 p.m.
On the 9th.
A very small agenda.
And let's keep it 6, 6:30, maybe 6:20. We have to vote on the financial piece, and we need to approve Alokio's.
So I will send that request to you.
If we can all look at that beforehand, which I know is tough. Sometimes I'm doing it right an hour before. But if we can look at that when it comes out, we can do, I mean, we've done super fast things in cars before. Get on, we just approve,
move.
If you
can send me those items over a text or whatever, and then I'll add them and I'll send it over.
Well, I think they're still working on the financial.
Get Brian to send you the stuff because he was planning for the 18th. Okay. But I did tell him to hold on because we would have this discussion.
In addition to Cody's?
The budget, no,
it's
that's
just
the budget.
And how Loki normally sends us.
Yeah.
Hey, was the recording device on when Cody assured us that it'd be really quick?
Don't look at me. I'm the one that drones on. I just remember once I was in my car and like all of a sudden three things were over. We're like, hey, we're done. That's how it needs to be.
So I'll contact Brian. I will have him send me the stuff and then I'll send it for you guys to review and then I'll upload.
And I'll send you my stuff and send it to the board.
Perfect.
Sounds good.
Okay,
is there anything else that needs, and then minutes?
And the minutes, yeah.
So there's four things. We don't need director's report, any of those things.
No.
Just four, okay.
Yeah, awesome. Just the four things.
Let's set a goal.
20 minutes.
If we're done in 20 minutes.
You buy lunch next time.
No, but like, we'll get a three-minute cake or something up at the resort.
Ari will buy us lunch if we get it done in 20 minutes.
I'll send it to your homes.
There you go, DoorDash.
Okay.
All right. Next item on the agenda is LEA license.
Okay. So we have a teacher in Spain who wants to come back to Utah, and she applied with us several years ago. In order for her to get a visa to come back into the United States, she has to have a quote unquote license to teach. She doesn't have her professional license yet. But so she asked us to see if we could give her an LEA specific license for next year. I sent you her resume. I sent you her letters of recommendation. And I did contact a previous employer. She was very good with test scores. She was a very helpful person in his faculty. It happened to be a friend of mine who's a soccer coach. So I touched base with him and he recommended her highly. We do have a teacher that is not coming back, or at least she told us that she's not coming back. She's applying somewhere else. She doesn't have a job yet. She wants to be closer to her home in Harriman. And so at this point, she probably is not coming back, third grade teacher. And so Amia would like to take that position. And so all we need to do is like we did last year for all the LEA specific teachers is approve her LEA specific license, and that's it. If you have any questions, I'll be more than happy to respond.
I think one thing that's come up through discussions with Greg, I say Roberts, but it's not Greg, Canal. Just as far as a board, we don't do operations, but we need to make sure that policy is sure that teachers, like for example, a situation like this, we just want to make sure that there is a specific record of how teachers were interviewed, what points they scored, who was involved in those interviews, just those consistent pieces, references from each one. You get to choose who you want to choose with your committee and how that works. But we just want to make sure that those things are on file. And then if that's who you select out of those people, then that we can say, we could do the license. But we want to make sure that that's happened, especially someone coming all the way across the continent.
Right.
And she is that top applicant, and we have some proof, so there's no complaints from anybody that would be a local person. So that would just be the one caveat that I would mention.
Did you want me to take her through that process?
Well, do you have other applicants? Like, is she officially applied on our website with other teachers? Or is she the only one that's applied?
Right now, she's the only one that applied. She applied 2 years ago, and we selected her, and that's when the pandemic hit, and so she just remained with her family in Spain, and then she contacted me in January and asked if I would help her come back.
Don't we normally use...
We did. We do.
What is it called? It's not Teachers Pay Teachers, but it's something like that. It's teacher to teacher.
Yeah.
That website to advertise.
Teachersteachers.com.
Yeah.
Teachersteachers.com. Yeah. And we do have an ad there, and she did respond to that one. I can have her go through the process and bring you the stuff next time.
Okay. Yeah. I
think it's just something one of our, we currently have a policy on those hiring procedures, or is that something that we were trying to work with? One of the items that come up tonight is with the HR representative that will help with that, to flush out those systems. I would want to make sure that she has applied the way that we do things in the past, and other teachers have been given that same opportunity. Okay. So
sounds good.
That's the only thing.
We'll bring her back next time.
All right, so the auditor suggestions were attached.
Yeah, the two auditors that submitted bids, we sent to you, you have them. And so now you just need to make a motion and then approve.
Phil, do you have comments on either one of those recommendations from MedApple or from your committee about which direction you would suggest?
I would suggest we make the change. From Squire to the new auditor.
Does the committee have a preference between one or the other?
Yeah, well, the one is the old one, and there's only one with a new one.
Oh, the item
was
the old one. Yeah, the price is very similar.
Yeah.
It might be even a little lower, depending on how many federal single audits we have to have done.
Brian, have any experience with the other one?
Yes.
Yeah. Brian works with the new one on some other schools. Yes, he has experience with them.
Are there any concerns that any of you wanted to bring up from what Phil presented before? Okay, and then is there somebody that would like to make a motion on that?
I motion to approve.
Okay. To Bailey. Approve to what?
Bailey.
Sorry, I don't know why I hit this.
So does that mean that you guys have
Squire? We will no longer have Squire, yes. We will have to give
them money. Yes, that's my motion
to approve.
the new applicant, not the current, and that's Squire.
Does anybody have the name so that we can have it on record?
Like
on
the lead.
I'm going to pull it up.
Okay. Bailey.
Bailey.
Oh, my
God. You can actually, are you not online? I was going to say you can actually bring it up, but Ari sent it to you on the, with all the.
It was
on Monday. Sure. I haven't
been in here at all.
That's on the audio.
I forget. I
apologize. Did you get it? It's fine. It's Ari. That's what I'm saying. It's on the shared drive. That's
right. There's Square. Oh, there's Bailey.
Okay. Right there. It's Bailey, B-A.
B-A, it's Ide Bailey, E-I-D-E, that's where you got it from. And then capital B-A-I-L-L-Y.
Sorry, say that again.
It's capital E-I-D-E.
Uh-huh.
Capital B-A-I-L-L-Y. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. So you're proposing to?
I motion to go with the competitor. I think it's Ed Bailey is what Bailey. I would like to recommend for the board.
Yeah, I would second that.
Okay.
Party Bank seconds the motion.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Bill, Marty, Cody.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. All right.
Unanimous.
Okay, Bailey will be our new auditor.
We'll need to let Brian know.
Okay. We also need to let Brian know about the.
Oh, yeah.
I'll send him an email.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Land Trust plans.
Land Trust. We brought the Land Trust to the. Community Council, we made a few, well, we just made sure that if we have additional funds, we will hire additional teacher assistants. It looks like we do have a little bit more funds, but we raised the pay, so that may take care of the additional money that they gave us. And so that's the new plan that was approved by the Community Council, so we submit it to you for approval. And you received that in your email as well.
Came out on Monday, I think. Did you have questions about the goals that were set or any of the actions that they chose to use those funds for?
I always trust the Community Council.
You came from the Community Council.
They do good things.
Yeah,
we're still finding parents to serve on that.
It's not a hard thing anymore to get parents to serve on the Community Council, because now they allow to have employees of the school, and we do have one only now, just one.
Which teachers?
Yeah, Jessica doesn't work here.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so only one, huh?
Which teachers are on the
lecture? No. They have to be part-time employees. Full-time employees cannot be on the Community Council.
Is it a 2-to-1 parents to teacher ratio?
That's correct. So we have 4 parents, and then Jessica and I serve as the school representatives on the council.
And I get them breakfast now. Oh, they come.
Once she's gotten breakfast all year.
So they come now. And I get them leaders.
Do we not have a teacher that's able to serve this year?
They can't serve on the Community Council.
They're all full-time.
If that was the case,
I'd be
here. Yeah. And if we add another employee, then we have to add 2 more parents.
Yep. I already requested to be
She can't because she's full time. Yeah, she can't because she works full time.
I'm like, I have 2 children here. Hmm.
So but Jessica, you can?
As representatives of the school, you can have 2 full time employees.
Okay, they're not council members.
We are council members, but we have to have 2 parents for a full time employee. Okay. And the parents are the ones.
I'm curious why a teacher.
No.
I thought it was admin and then 2-to-1 ratio.
A teacher could serve as a representative of the school. But if we add a teacher, then we have to add. Only a part-time can serve as a representative of the parents.
And the current representatives that we have, are they parents as well?
They're parents. Oh. Yeah, Jessica's a parent.
But before, if they also worked here, they were just scratched off.
That's right. If they worked in the school, they couldn't serve on the community council. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think admin counted. I thought admin was kind of
the admin is, there's a principal that has to be part of
it. But I thought it was separate from, I didn't think that they fit in the 2-to-1 ratio. I thought that was just an extra piece.
Nope. It has, it's part of the school. So. Oh yeah, we need a motion.
I motion to approve the plan submitted to the promise report.
Did you guys hear that?
I didn't quite hear it. Sorry.
This is Becky, and I motion to approve the plan submitted to the Esperanza School Board.
Is there a second?
I'll second Becky's motion.
Okay, then all in favor of accepting the Land Trust plan as written and sent to us.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, very good. Then that motion passes.
Okay.
Okay. I'm trying to see where the couple is. This the old agenda or the new one?
No, it's a new one.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
I added your stuff. You subject discussion.
Okay. Let's just stick with the order that we have. Then let's move on to our discussion items. And that would be Vice Principal Garay. Next on our agenda.
So I'm here to present. Do you want to mute you so I can unmute myself? All right. Where's that echo? If you stop here. Maybe.
Who
else? It still working? Or no? Okay. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
The people from online, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. We can hear you.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I'm going, can you give me a thumbs up? Okay, I think they can hear me. Okay, so I'm here to present or to give you an update on how our last parent conference went. It happened on April 21st at 6 p.m. This time we wanted to present about information to parents about what they can do to help their students be ready for college. So these are some of the topics that we presented. We presented information on how to fill FAFSA, scholarships. We had a DACA panel, the three pathways in high school, and post-secondary options for education and training. This is our parent night committee. Vice Principal Julia Barrientos, myself, Ariana Garcia, our kinder teacher, Omar Gosain, he's a fourth grade teacher, Maestro Hyatt, fourth grade teacher, Tyrell Love, he's a federal programs coordinator, and Yvonne Medina, our special education director. So we all worked together to plan this event. And we also had some guest speakers that we invited. Sorry, this thing is covering the names. We had Monica, she's a school counselor. She's our neighbor from Granger High School. Yesenia Sante, she's a fifth grade teacher teaching at Riley Elementary. We had Dr. Jose Enriquez, and he was our keynote speaker. He's the founder, chief executive of Latinos in Action. Dylan, he is a FAFSA state coordinator in the Utah System of Higher Education. And we had Nidia Romero, and she used to work here. This is us welcoming our parents. So we had the Alliance Community Service come and give free COVID test kits. All of our students received the free book. We offer childcare, dinner, and some other incentives, like a chance to win Esperanza gear and some gift cards. And we also bought some dinner. We had tacos el paisa. So as you can see, that is the line to get some tacos. And here are some pictures of the sessions. As you can tell, we got a lot of positive feedback from our parents, and some of them have older children, so they brought them with them. So we had a total of 144 attendees, including 65 of our students, and we had some parents joined online. This is a little bit higher than our last conference, so I think you know, the COVID thing, since it's, you know, getting settled a little bit, I think our parents are starting to feel a little bit more safe to come in person. And Maestro Hyatt or Julia, I'm not sure if you would like to add anything else since you were part of the planning committee.
I heard a lot of parents comments about college, I guess, the one I was over in was the three pathways to college through high school. And there was a lot of information that Monica provided that my parents provided good feedback about.
Really high attendance, a lot of positive feedback from parents. I think it helped a few changes that were made between the last conference and this, I think also probably helped with our higher participation. One was that we started a little bit later based on feedback and input we'd received from parents during home visits. So the later start time, I think maybe helped more people get there. The format we changed a tiny bit, and personally, I think the tacos were a big hit. I think having a taco cart, the only thing is the lines were really long, so we decided if we do that next time, we have to invite two taco carts, because gotta get through the line faster. It was very successful, and we had a lot of people bring younger children who needed childcare. And so having employees that were there to provide childcare also, I think, helped up our attendance for families. All right, any questions or comments? Okay, that is it.
Sounded very successful.
Okay, thank you so much.
Nice job, Jessica.
Hey, this is Marty. Are we supposed to be hearing something, or is it a moment of silence?
I got to know.
Okay.
All right, you guys hear me? No echo. So just really quick to sum up, there's been requests multiple times from parents about one idea, and that is expansion. And the state considers that when you expand, add a class or you add grade levels. And we did have an application for an Ogden school that we were asked to reconsider and wait until our, what was the part? We were redoing
About 30%.
It was the Proposition A piece, right?
Yeah.
And so we had re-upped our charter so that we could do that. When Marie came, one thing that I didn't realize was that they would actually prefer that you have your whole vision to send in rather than do it piecemeal. Like, okay, let's just do seventh or eighth grade and then let's wait a couple of years, go through the application process again for another school. And I didn't realize that it was possible to say, okay, here's our large vision, 5-year design, 10 years down the road, that you can submit that as one package. And then they would work with you as you went through that process over time.
And that's due later. That's not due in July. November.
Is
if you
November?
Want multiple, if you only want to focus on seventh and eighth grade at your school, inside your school, it's due in July. But if we wanted to build something right there, it would be due in November. Or if we wanted to go to Ogden or anywhere, it would be due in November. So we do have more time, but that means it's just approved later as well.
Right.
And just so you know, we wouldn't be doing this.
That's
right. It would be Red Apple who has a person who specializes in this processes.
So we wouldn't be doing it, that he would be doing it. Well, he would be doing before, the application. You did it before, but when we submitted our Ogden application, he did it.
Yeah. Well, before we did that, I would want to make sure that we had some vision conversations about that, you know?
And that could be the one at June, in June.
That's right.
Yeah.
So really the question is this something that we really feel that we want to have an application submitted by November, or is this something that we would want to do in a year and a half, the following November, where we'd have a lot more time for that discussion and to prep that application?
Well, the only thing I worry about going out to the next November is what if the bylaws or the requirements change between now and then? And that's one of the things she talked about too, is that's why you wanna, if you want to have multiple sites, you do it at one time. She did mention that. If you wanna actually go to 12th grade, apply for it now, mm-hmm. because you could get it in now before something changes. The change that these requirements now are new changes from the last mm-hmm. time.
Right.
So I just worry that it would change. And it would have to be a subcommittee in order to do this. I don't think all of us could do it as a group and be productive.
With the gentleman from Apple. That we're
yeah.
That with
us. And I can have Jeff is his name from Red Apple. I talked to him already and told him that we were having that discussion. And he told me that as soon as you make a decision, just to let him know and he will make himself available. And so as soon as you think that, yes, we need to move forward, I can contact him and have him at our retreat or have him come to our meeting here.
Well, when is the last time policy changed? Because she acted like it was brand new policy that just changed what it was
current. No, yeah. That's right? What it was. They just changed it. This is this go around is what it was. It's the R277-552-6.
Right.
And then she listed all of those policies.
would it be possible to have the person from Red Apple present to the board some preliminary questions that they would need to answer regarding vision that could be looked at the strategic planning or something like that?
We sent, I think Marie sent the application, actually, all the questions that need to be answered.
I'm more speaking to Cody's point that your thought about postponing would be that we want to make sure we have this very complete I just wonder if the Red Apple person had, besides the complete application, some key considerations that the board should think of in a strategic planning way, and then that decision could be made there. Like after reviewing those, like, are we ready for it? Do we have the vision? Have we thought through it?
To put all this time into it and then not be approved because we didn't have
everything.
Well,
I would like to look over.
Also. Yeah.
Well, can we make sure that it's on the strategic planning?
Absolutely.
And then make a decision then?
Yeah. We can put it on the agenda.
I like that idea.
Okay, yeah. Your face says something different. So I'm like,
no,
okay, you have something
I feel
like
I'm
that.
Trying to hold my tongue because that's not my decision to make. But I feel like there's been a lot of pressure from our parents to do this. And I would like to do what the community wants from us. And I think, I mean, I hear it all the time. And because mm-hmm. I do upper
right.
grades and I do the transition plans for our exiting sixth graders, it's painful. It's painful. And they ask us all the time, where should we go? And how are we going to maintain our Spanish? And the options are
limited.
They're limited for them. They're very limited. And it's very frustrating. And we also hear a lot once they're out there and they mm-hmm. still have little kids here about how their junior high kids are suffering. Or how they're having a harder time in high school and they mm-hmm. wish they had a more culturally supportive environment and could have continued with their bilingualism. So I could go on and on, but I just would rather if we could make a decision in strategic planning about whether or not we're ready based on an outline presented from the Red Apple guy that could make everyone feel comfortable that we're not rushing and yet also not dragging our feet.
Yeah.
I think on the one hand, I want to mention that, like, if it was just one piece, if it was just Ogden, or if it was just 7th and 8th, I think it's much more doable for November. But if we want to consider an entire piece of what eventually what Esperanza could become. I think it's worth waiting that time. On the other hand, I would want to mention that I would hope that in a meeting like this, when we're having, this is supposed to be an open conversation, that no one would feel that they have to hold their tongue. But any ideas, good, bad, and ugly,
I didn't mean that in a bad way. I just, it's completely a board decision. I'm just giving you the feedback we've had is, please do it. I agree with
parents are
dying. I think they've done that since the first graduating class.
They have.
There's so many requirements from listening to the lady that came. I mean, it's not just like, oh, let's open another school. They are requiring you have to pass step one in order to get to step two. So it's like,
yeah, I would like to do that and get a good assessment from Red Apple, you know, where we are today, so we can see, is it something that we can achieve and accomplish if we're missing something in there before November? And if we can't, and it's not going to be a quality package, then we already know that we need to push it.
And remember too what Marie said. It doesn't hurt to put the application and have them review it. And then they will in turn look at it and tell us where we need to improve for the following submission. So I think that's...
I don't know. I always ask for these little cups because I always thought that with stuff like this, like, okay, here's Esperanza. Okay, you can expand and just include 7th and 8th. Or you can have that, and you can have Ogden up here. And then you can have Provo down here. But until Marie came, I didn't realize that you could actually design something that has all your primary schools supported by a junior high that could even lead up to college credit for kids, because there are not many options that kids have in our situation and our culture, right? That has that. And I just didn't realize that until she came, and it just opened my eyes to new possibilities.
I would have thought it would have been a whole different application.
And one of the pieces that I want to look at is, okay, which other schools have done this? And she suggested a couple
I've seen
models like this.
And there's also examples from other states that we could look at.
Okay, so would you put, as far as... online, you guys are awfully quiet. So I don't know if you can hear us or not. But I just wanted to put together just a couple of action items. But I want to hear, is there any other last minute feedback as we're planning on talking about this at the strategic planning meeting?
This is Marty. I have one comment, and that is, notwithstanding Eloquio's reference to the woman who said it doesn't hurt to put a package together and get some feedback so that your next application package is maybe more compelling. I see the wisdom in that. However, I think we kind of learned from our last experience, you know, 6-7 years ago, whatever it's been now, where some of these board members, some of the reviewers make some first impressions. And sometimes it's hard to undo a B- first impression. And, you know, I realize it's a conflict, two compelling arguments. But as we consider this, let's think about the potential downsides to submitting a half-baked application and making a first less than optimal impression.
So tell me how this feels. We get the application, we get copies of that application. We ask Red Apple to give us that advice about, give us an assessment of where we're at and how they would suggest we go, and then make sure that it is a big portion of our strategic plan.
Yep.
Is there anything else that you'd want to add to that?
Love it.
Okay, if you'd make sure those are in the minutes, that would be one.
I am doing that right now.
Thank you. So that's why I had asked to add this onto the agenda, just so that we don't forget these things and then leave our parents in the lurch again. Thank you. The other thing is that we have committed to have an HR representative that, and this is a little sticky because it's going to work different, and I don't understand how this would work, but it needs to be a board hire, not a school hire. And I don't even know if that's possible. Like, how does that work? So that it ends up being somebody that is outside of the school building, outside of Red Apple, outside of the building. And so somehow we need to explore that option so that when we begin, so that in the summer we can advertise and get somebody hired, so that when we begin this next school year, that is a strategic piece of what we're offering to staff, to faculty, to administration, to everybody. So, and that's something we can't let go, because I would really like to start that school year, this next school year, with that set up. But I don't know where we need to go with that.
Would their responsibility be everything that HR? So are we taking stuff from Red Apple? Are we taking stuff from me?
Yeah, at one point, we'd like taking a little bit from everybody to reduce your plates and have them be some.
Even offload Alokio and some things he's doing. Yes, you'd be involved in the interviewing process, but there would be the guidelines in how you interview, not necessarily how you interview, but how you make your selections to make sure it's, you know, like a merit type, it's fair and equitable and how you're interviewing. So if you ask one person, what's your favorite color? Then you have to ask every applicant, what's your favorite color? Not to make everything, especially if you're doing it like for third grade, a whole bunch of third grade teachers.
And now that we have applicants, that's necessary. In the past, we were begging people to take jobs, if you remember, Becky.
Yeah, we're already becoming, like I talked about all this, we're becoming a school of choice.
That's right.
Employer of choice.
So well, it would also give teachers a direct line. If they have questions about their insurance or their retirement or things like that, they can go to somebody that can be an expert in all of those
things.
That's
their specialty.
And people that are already in the building don't have to be an expert at all.
Can run the school.
The other thing is just like, let's say that a teacher has a complaint against cute little Jessica. They can go and talk to Alokio, but it also provides them a way that they can say, well, what are the policies at our school? How can I get the support that I need? So that person would encompass all of those pieces together. Part of the hiring, like the paperwork pieces, part of the insurance pieces, and part of just teacher support pieces. So,
a good filing system, a good record keeping, everything. There's so much that goes into it.
And it was a direct request from Greg Connell.
Yeah.
This is something that our school have to enrich what we already have offered our faculty and staff.
And I also want to put, Juan is not here, but we've completed our survey that we did with the staff. And I would like to actually bring it to the strategic planning. The problem is I can read the English, but I can't read the Spanish. So I also want it to be mine to be translated. For any of the responses that we need to be translated, should we into Spanish? Should we? Because I think we should be transparent. So I would like to kind of go that way and look at that. And possibly, maybe what we could do is, as board members, is because we said that this was going to be, you know, at first it's just for the private board members or voting members only to see these survey questions. But I think after that, we should determine the top recommendations as far as what needs to improve or what we need to work on, because we asked questions about faculty and staff engagement and their values. And I really think that it was an opportunity for us to build some trust that's not there, especially with our school board. And I would like to be able to disclose what came from that survey, that it wasn't just, tell us what you want, we're not going to do anything about it. And it ties into that human resources piece, because I saw that in several of the comments. I was shocked at the number of people that actually typed up a response in the comments. And I saw that I saw 3 or 4 responses where they said that we need a human resources person.
Well, and I think it's a fair thing for everybody all around. I mean, I've gone through trainings that I'm like, why am I taking this training? But I'm taking this training because I'm literally the one that has to do it.
Right.
Because there's, and sometimes I have to ask the question on the chat. I'm sorry, I don't know what you're talking about right now, but if you show me, and they have to call me on a one-on-one and kind of explain to me that these are things that I have to, because I provide that information to the employees. I mean, we're talking all the way from 401k to retirement, and there's some lingo going on there that I don't even know what they're talking about. But I've learned, and I think I've done an okay job trying to find my sources to get that information. But yeah, I think it's fair for everybody, because I might not be 100% accurate, and so.
It's one of 10 hats you wear.
See, that's the thing. Working in a small school.
I do it at a hospital. So
I know, but it's very taxing when you take on several responsibilities. And charter schools, just in their nature, take on extra responsibilities that public schools don't have to deal with, because they have people in the district that field all of those questions. But it automatically adds
IT
lots of hats because of
and that. Then I forward IT stuff to our HWire, and then I take security trainings, and then I forward the information I received to HWire, and then I take it and I forward it to Brian. You know, I try to kind of do things. So I mean, it's fair for everybody as well as for myself to kind of be like, okay, I'm not an expert here. I think I need more training here. Somebody else can take over.
It sounds like we need to have that as part of the agenda, and we actually write what that person would look
the criteria that they need to meet, or what?
Yeah, well, what is it called? It's not like write the job description and then actually have it uploaded so that through July and August it can be.
I did not do that.
But I don't even know where you go to look for stuff like that type of person.
Google is awesome. I've been applying for jobs left and right in the federal government, and I can see, because I'm not happy, I can see where I can see different jobs that are out there for human resources, and I do a large
part
of human resources in my job.
It's right up your alley.
It's right up my alley. So I would like
you.
To, let's, okay.
We don't need to, make a motion, but
you buy back my 27 years of federal service and pay me, you know,
we'll hire you and I'll just transfer.
That works. I'll bring you to my interview.
So we don't need to make any motions, but are there any other aspects of these two items that you want brought up before June? And where strategic planning was a little ambiguous tonight, is kind of becoming very,
very clear.
Very, very clear. Yes.
I think we're going to have, I think we'll be able to accomplish a lot of the stuff. I think the last couple of strategic plans, we've talked about things, we've talked about policy. Yeah. We wanted to do more team building, remember the last time, and we didn't get to really do that because we had lengthy discussions in the board meeting. So I think this will be great. I'm excited.
And I like just the idea that we're separating policy from strategic planning from our action items, just to everything that we have has a as an open purpose that we share and work together on to get a clear vision. So, okay, that's what I have. We are very late, but I'm turning over the rest of the time to you, Abba.
Well, mine is very, very quick. That's our wonderful faculty and staff. I was actually surprised to find this on our Facebook page here last week. It's a comment on Facebook. It was just talking about our school, how we focus on invitational education. And it said that she was an employee, but I looked at the name and I don't recognize the employee. Unless she uses a different name on Facebook. So that's why I didn't put the name on there. She doesn't appear to be an employee, but maybe she was.
Do you want to read that in English? Yeah, please.
Oh, sorry. I forget.
Yeah. That's what I used to do on the Esperanza. I used to do that
all the time. Yeah, it just says that it's an excellent institution, educational institution that focuses on invitational, I think they meant education exclusively, inclusive. And then it says in my short path or time that I was working as a teacher assistant in this institution, this autonomous institution, I found out the great, value and passion for education that those who work there have, always putting the kids and their focus, their central focus, and teaching methods. Again, don't know who it was.
She has a different name.
It could have been. It could have been. Again, they have a different name, so I didn't recognize it. Jessica already talked about the college and career parent training. Here's another celebration. This is the financial audit determination. I think I sent it to you already, did I?
This is not official, my skin. I'm not sure if they are looking
at. Are you seeing the slides change?
No. Yeah, it didn't.
why? My apologies. Let's see.
You see the great picture.
Just the picture. Let me see if I need to share again. Oh, are you seeing it? Can you see this? No?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll just go through this way. That's the letter that they written. And that's Jessica's presentation. This is the letter from the state office, basically talking about the determination letter from our auditors, indicating that they found no item of concern in our school's finances. This is the enrollment for next year. Remember that our number is 529 kids, and we currently have 544, I believe it is. We do need to reduce that number 66 because we only have two classes and we never want to have more than 30 students in a class. And so that number 66 needs to come down. I think we've already lost four kids. Four more. Four people have not decided if they want to come back, and we're hoping that they're not, because we just can't have.
Do you ever think you're going to get to that point?
Yeah, and we do have a waiting list too. So, so we have about 20 plus kids more than we need. And if Marty, you remember last time I told you that we were going to over enroll because of the school opening up. And so I think we are going to enroll up to 550, so that if 25 leave, we will be just fine. If they don't leave, we will be in trouble.
If I can just say something, it's not even the end of the school year, and I'm already calling from the waiting list, and I have not had a no, and they've all enrolled. And so I think we're gonna get our student body before
the end of the month. And some of the lower grades, they're actually calling us to find out why we haven't called them. But the lower grades are packed full. The next item is the science test. As you can see, we still have 42 more students to test in science. And at this moment, if all 42 fail, our end of the year science score is 29, which is a little bit higher than last year, 28. And last year, 28 was the highest we've had in the 7 years since we opened. And so we are moving up. We're very happy to move up. We don't think that the 29 or the 42 kids will fail the test. We anticipate 10 kids pass that test, which means that we would go up to about 35, 36% proficiency, which is just an astronomical increase. And in fact, today, some special ed representatives came to my office and they showed me how their kids in special education are showing great, great improvement. And Sara Quiroz, who's with us, was one of the people that came into my office to basically celebrate with me and with the teacher assistants that are working with the special ed students. The final assessment report will be done by Julia at our retreat. We will have the final scores by then. This is for the year that is just ending. It talks about just briefly the enrollment that we had. We served 537 kids, and as you recall, we currently have 528. And it tells us here the number of English language learners, ethnic minority, low income, and students with disabilities that we have served.
Well, we got the WIDA access back to
people. Yeah. Yeah. The staff returning, we have 26 teachers. We have 17 that have signed out of the 20 classroom teachers. One is planning to leave. Three are pending, and three special education teachers are all coming back. Two specialists, we haven't signed their agreements, but they're both coming back. The federal programs coordinator, as far as I know, is coming back. And as far as I know, the three administrators are coming back. I'm looking. this is the calendar, which is 2022-2023. Of course, we'll send this on an email for you so that you can put it in your calendars. This report will also be on our Google Drive, if in case you want to look at it there. And then finally, our strategic planning meeting will be there as well. There's the address, there's the hotel, there's the people that are coming, and the nights that you have indicated you're staying there, and how many people you are bringing. If that changes, let me know.
Mine may drop one, but right now.
You're good, yeah. Any other items, any questions, comments?
I just want to say that we finally transitioned to the online applications.
Yay!
And it is beautiful and we love it. And it's been hard work because we've been helping parents.
She's proving me wrong, so yes.
But I have a lot of help. Sharon moved into my office to help me and she is amazing. And so she's worked really hard with me, but we're officially transitioned over. So that's exciting.
That's it. That's the end.
Okay, wonderful. 7:42.
7:42.
90 minutes. Is this the one?
Hey, Lokio.
Yes.
Can you either tell me or flash back up how many people I've mentioned would be coming with me to the retreat?
It was right there.
Yes.
12.
12. That's all, yes. My pets and.
Yes. Yes. Let me see.
I think it said two.
Two. They're telling me two. I'm going to just verify. Yes.
Where thank you.
Yeah, two. Right there.
Wait a minute. Would you go back again? I want to get a total for just the supplies and things.
So it's
okay. How many?
What?
It's okay if I don't go.
No, you know, you're coming.
I'm not on the
you
list.
Will be on the list. Trust me.
How many of those?
You're a given.
All of those folks will be at the strategic planning.
No, no. This is the people that you're bringing.
There's only 10.
Right.
There should only be 10 people at the retreat.
It's 11.
It's 11 people with to the retreat. Bring them.
Every year.
Every week. He says that every week. Okay. Any other questions?
You know what? Tell him this is your okay. Time. You need to do something.
Just tell him to bring his drink.
Bring his
serenade.
Send me an email because I'll forget.
Actually,
please. Stop.
Right. Well, good night.
Okay. Thank you. Good night, everybody. Thanks, Sarah, for joining us. Thank you.
You're going to have to send me the recording.
Oh yeah, huh? I think it'll last
me. I sent an email to Bill and asked him to provide me a summary of what he spoke about. So